Good morning. You guys are the sort of the last of the Mohicans. You've stuck it out this far, and I applaud you. My name is Julie Becker, and I'm with the Women's Health and Environmental Network, and I'll tell you a little bit about the organization at the very end, but I want to jump right in because I want to talk a little bit about a video that we created. I have nothing to disclose, but I want to kind of give you a quick summary of what we're going to talk about. I'm going to talk a little bit about the background, how we got to this, and then I'm going to talk about some key points and then some of the next steps. So let's jump right in. So in general, we have been working for quite a while with the American Nurses Association and have kind of been working on teaching folks in community health nursing. And part of it comes out of it from because I started working with Barb Sattler back in and did one of her very first courses in her program down at Maryland. And I've been teaching in public health programs as well as in medical schools. And we kind of came up with this idea of nurses are super key to thinking about environmental health issues. So we've also the Luminary Project is part of a project with the American Nurses Association and a group called Healthcare Without Harm. And one of the people there who I'm featuring is Mary Bouchard, who is a partner of ours at Jefferson. And we started this initially at Jefferson School of Nursing, where I was on faculty at the medical school, and I crossed over and went to a different side, which I was thrilled to do in terms of working with some nurses. And this goes back to some of the key principles of environmental health for nursing about knowledge for environmental health, implementation of the precautionary principle, and the right to work in a safe and healthy environment. So how did we do this? Well, the purpose of what we tried to do was inculcating environmental health in nursing education. We already were teaching, and then locally we held a conference here at the Pennsylvania State Nurse Association, came to Philadelphia, of which Wen coordinated. We got all the speakers and people came here, and it was great. People were really enthused, but the information didn't go back into the nursing classroom. And so what we took on was saying, how do we get it back into the nursing classroom? So with our colleagues, one of whom is in the audience, Ruth McDermott Levy from Villanova University, we wanted to, and Rita Laurie, and she was at Temple, and Betty, I'm so sorry. They came up with this idea to have a nursing conference, and so we were able to get a tiny bit of seed money to start thinking about creating sort of a key kernel that could be replicated in multiple nursing situations. Because why do we have to keep reinventing the wheel? We don't. We can take the same information we want to distill and bring it in on a consistent basis. Therefore, everybody's kind of getting a similar thing, but it can be tailored to each educator's own personal beliefs. So what are the key points? Well, we define what a toxin is, and we go through where do exposures occur. So who did we pick as our protagonist? We picked a pregnant pediatric nurse, and we looked at it from a day in her life. And the reason we picked her was several reasons. One, she actually did a clinical rotation with the Women's Health and Environmental Network. This was part of some of the different kind of thinking we were doing in terms of community health program and linking a clinical program with a nonprofit. We also were able to link that particular program with members of the House of Representatives, with other nonprofits, with local, state, and local and state agencies as well. So that gave people a much more robust approach to thinking about a clinical experience. We then went ahead, and Anna Gilmore Hall is the executive director for Healthcare Without Harm. She also gave us some definitions about what body burden is, and that's what we chose to focus on. We interviewed four specialists, and we had included their particular points of view in this video as well. The reason I'm not showing you the video is when I went to go and load this up, the video clips were not loading. So we had to have two different PowerPoint presentations, one with the video, one without. So this is the without, so I want to ensure that at least you got to see something. The other thing that we looked at was who's at risk. And we looked at Nina Baker. She had just come out with a brand new book called Body Toxic, and she really focused on two key vulnerable populations. One was pregnant women, and the other was infants. Subsequently, subsequently, we kind of know that in terms of vulnerable populations, we need to add two more populations to that. We also need to start focusing more on seniors, what our exposures are through the course of our lifetime. That whole body burden is now starting to come back to bite us a little bit, and we're starting to see that kind of come back. We're seeing more things affected in terms of mental acuity. The other component is all people are not created equal. And what I mean by that is that race, gender, and ethnicity play a role in how toxins are ending up being processed within our bodies. And so with that in mind, we have to now kind of think about it in how we focus. It can't be a one-size-fits-all. We also asked Ted Shuttler for some of his points of view. He is an incredibly well-known author. He's written the book Generation at Risk, Threats to Healthy Aging, and The Toxic Sandbox. And so he wanted to make a clear point about where do you find the toxins and to go ahead and think about doing an inventory and taking a look at where you are. One of the key things that keeps coming up, the Women's Health and Environmental Network, or WEN, as we prefer to call ourselves, we are one of the founding members of the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. Personal care products and cosmetics are a key component to a lot of people's lives. Very few people get away with doing less than 12 in the course of a day. And so one of the things we found is that kind of exposure is sort of ubiquitous and it's ongoing. And the questions that are starting to come is low level chronic exposures to these kinds of chemicals, what effects do they have? And there's been some interesting work on this to kind of suggest that there may be some kind of reproductive issues with regards to some of these exposures. So that's sort of where we're going with that. And lastly, we work a lot within the healthcare industry. We are out working with over 70 hospitals in the southeastern Pennsylvania area, and also with the folks in Pittsburgh. And so we also interviewed one of our local sort of star hospitals to kind of talk a little bit about what were some of their efforts in terms of making medicine mercury-free and eliminating DEHP. So the results, we debuted this at Villanova with Ruth's conference, and this was distributed to more than 125 people all over. We've been able to go ahead, it's been used in at least 5 nursing programs that we've been directly able to measure, 7 public health classes and 4 social science classes, more on the sociology and political science end of things. The video has turned out to be the cornerstone of at least 5 lectures, so people have gone ahead and used it and made it as part of what they're doing, so we know that people are sort of getting somewhat of a consistent message. We also know that we have increased the awareness about the links between health and the environment, and people can then figure, they're able to define, they can have a common definition of what is a toxin, a common definition of body burden. They're also able to go ahead and figure out ways in which the video shows ways to decrease your exposures. And the reason why we've wanted to focus on this as more of a video as opposed to PowerPoint and a bunch of other things are 2 things. One, education today is not based on knowledge. I don't care what people tell you, it's based on edutainment, okay? And what that really means, it's 80%, ba-da-doom, you know, a little bit of bells and whistles, and 20% information. Because the kids are raised not on reading a book, they're raised on video games, they're raised on television, they're raised on texting. They are raised on being entertained. And so when we think about bringing in information into educational facilities, we need to think about how we have to change. And we need to think about doing it more from an edutainment point of view. And the second component that we also need to think about when we think about this is that there are a lot of mixed messages, and people get very confused. And I have been working with a nursing group to kind of talk about how the message about pharmaceuticals gets in the water. And there's a lot of confusion about what do you do with your pharmaceuticals, because there's different messages put out by different groups, and even though they may be somewhat similar, they're tweaked differently. So the idea of getting a consistent message is really very important. Thank you. Next steps. So we're expanding the training to a group of hospitals within the southeastern Pennsylvania region, and we're going to do a little bit more rigorous evaluation in doing that. We're embedding the video as part of that, and we're using more video to start training healthcare providers and pharmacists on how to do disposal of medications. The other component that I want to just briefly mention is we're a nonprofit and we partnered with academia. And what I'm finding is that very often these kinds of partnerships are not as easy as you think because there's a lot of turf issues and there's a lot of huggerty-muggerty going on there. And what I want to point out to you is that, unfortunately, these are really difficult times. It's tough for nonprofits and academics and government as well. We're all having to make do with less. Therefore, we have to work smarter and work stronger. And therefore, we're stronger together as opposed apart. So, I want to say briefly, I want to tell you a little bit about us as the Women's Health and Environmental Network, or WEN. We really work, we're an environmental health group. We do not focus just on environment. Our axe to grind is we come at the environment through health, and we've got a whole bunch of different initiatives, which I've already mentioned a couple of them. And so, in conclusion, Rachel Carson is one of the prominent Pennsylvanians, okay? And about 2 years ago, it was our 100th anniversary of her birth. And I just want to mention, this particular quote has a lot of resonance for me because we do stand at a crossroads, and we have choices to make right now. And I want to point out that nurses are very often the leaders. They're the ones willing to take the path not taken. This is based upon Robert Frost's quote. And we have the option to try to do that. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you, when you go home, you've been inundated with all kinds of cool stuff from this conference. That's great. Go home and think about new partnerships. Be willing to think differently. Be willing to take that chance. Because the next round of nurses, the next group that we educate, they are the people that we're creating the legacy for, and they're the ones who are going to go out and do the next steps. If you want to know more about the video in and of itself, I'm happy to do it afterwards. Thank you.